the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We're going to get you back up into the ring in just a moment or two. Tomorrow night, we're going to be in Philadelphia for Slamboree. Joining me at this time, ladies and gentlemen, he is a legend. He is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty, some of the things that are coming down recently at WCW can't be sitting well with you.
Well, me, Gene, I have tried with great patience to keep myself from just going overboard about the Colonel Rob Parker bunkhouse buck situation. Let me tell you something about Dustin Rhodes. He's not trying to walk in his daddy's footsteps. He has brought his own boots to the dance, my friend. And when I lay at home and I look at my hands in the morning, I have blood-stained crimson from my boy's noggin that you put on it at Spring Stampede. I get a burning inside my gut. I get a feeling saying, you old man, get up off your ass and get back in there. But he don't want me to. He want to do this by himself. We talking about Slamboree in Philadelphia, and everybody in Philadelphia knows Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. They know what I stand for. They know the blood, sweat, and tears that I have laid down in that building. Let me tell you something, Colonel Robert Parker. Let me tell you something, Bunkhouse Buck. If you dare lay a finger, Parker, on my son's head in Philadelphia at Slamboree, I will dance a mud hole in your head so far and so deep you'll be talking Chinese when it's over. Yeah, I'll stay out of the fight. But when you play the family, when you start playing the family, Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, I don't care how old I am. I don't care if I got an 80-year-old body. I got a 25-year-old mind, and I got thunder in my gut. And the thunder I got in my gut will erase the history of the bloodstained hand from Spring Stampede. You take that back to Bunkstock, Tennessee.
All right, let's go back up to the ring. Holy cow!
My. Oh my. Tuesday night, June 4th, 2019, episode 597 of The Rant. Is it 597? Yeah, 597 of The Rant is officially live across the airwaves of Rant Entertainment Media, rantemradio.com, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and a plethora of other platforms. Hi, everyone. Double A. It's a little bit of, I don't want to use the word somber, I think. It's a monumentous day, I guess. We're back after a week's hiatus. I'll talk about that in a brief second. Double A, as always, being joined by Tony C.
Hey, yo.
And we are live, L-I-V-E, live, Rantium Radio. You just listened to the Shining Wizards and things like that. We'll be talking more and more about things you'll be hearing on this network in a short moment. But the lines are open. Call us on Discord at Rant EM Radio. What is it? Rant EM Radio 9233. That's what it is. Rant EM Radio, hashtag 9233 is our pin. So give us a buzz on Discord, and we'll certainly include you in the discussion. So here it is. We were off last week. I'll tell everybody why in just a second. A lot of things has happened since we were on 2 weeks ago. Not only in the wrestling world, but in the world in general. But yeah, I guess we'll talk about what's going on in our personal lives. And I'm going to start, usually I start with Tony C, but today I'm going to start with myself, because if I sound any different today, I mean, Tony C, is there a little bit of echo in the air?
A little bit. A
little bit. I'm going to tell you why. Because I am currently, the way I am sitting, broadcasting, I am opposite of where I'm normally sitting. So, to give everybody an idea, the broadcast desk usually is against the window. Today, it is opposite the window, and instead of me facing the window, I am now facing a closet. The reason why there's echo in the room is because the room is empty. The only thing that's here is the broadcast location. There is no carpets. There's no floors. There's no nothing. Because I regret to inform everybody that today is the final broadcast of this program from this location. It is the final time that this show will air from this studio, where I have done over 1,000 shows. I have spent 12 years in this quote-unquote studio broadcasting, and beginning next week, I will be broadcasting from a brand new facility, recently remodeled, and we'll be there next week. So the echo will be gone next week. It may sound a little different. I don't know. We'll see. But
changing studios.
We're changing studios. We're just basically going to the other side of the wall. We're going to the next room over. And and the renovations in this room, in the studio, the quote-unquote studio that we're in now, those renovations will be completed this weekend, where the floors will be installed. Then new furniture comes the weekend after. But really, the main thing is that we're relocating to the new studio next door. And today's the... and actually, my allergies are bothering me a pinch, because there is still smells like paint in here. And there's still some remnant dust in here from all the movement of the carpets and the sanding and things like that. I mean, my desk, my broadcast facility, is still somewhat covered in dust from sanding. So we tried our best to cover it in plastic, and we failed miserably. But
wow.
But still, we're able to broadcast, and in the mix of all this madness and moving around and things like that, we have fixed a technical issue that we've had for the last couple of months, where the feed had been going down in the middle of the show. Come to find out, it was an issue on my end because the internet was not stable. Come to find out that the actual cable, the Ethernet cable, was worn out, needed to be replaced. So, brand new Ethernet cable, boom, 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 problem solved, feed won't go out anymore. Flowing like water. And all of this, of course, all the movements and everything will coincide with our 600th episode, which is in a few weeks. We'll talk about that probably next week. And, of course, our 12th anniversary show, and... yeah, it's just a lot of things, a lot of activity, a lot of movement going on here. But I'm excited. Next week we're going to be in the new studio, in a new location. Don't know yet where the desk is going to be positioned.
The rant is taped before a live studio.
Exactly. And yeah, so it's we've got some very interesting times going on here. But as I look here, you know, at what was this location for the last 12 years, even though that the desk is facing the opposite direction than what it normally was, it is the last vestige, the last remnant of what this studio was. Because everything else is gone. Everything else in the room is gone. The walls have a fresh coat of paint. And let me tell you, we went through nightmare with that paint because we scraped the old paint off the walls and primered and sanded, and it was a big long thing, and it's just been it's been a real chore to get this up to snuff. And actually, the way it looks right now, without, you know, even though the floors are not laid down, it looks very good. It's very clean. It's very crisp. The only thing here right now is that this light needs to be changed. And I'm sitting under a fan, so if you hear a little bit of wind, that's because there's a fan above me blowing. but yeah, so it's a little bittersweet. Today's the final episode in the studio, in this studio, where so many things have happened these last 12 years. And of course, last week's episode, handpicked by Tony C. Because yep, we replayed a classic episode last week.
That damn dog, that damn Scott Hall.
So
Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Anytime we can get use Scott Hall to bring up an argument. But so, man, in the process of going through old episodes, I got some doozies you can replay, man.
Yeah.
You hear me?
If by chance we have to take another week off or something for whatever, which I don't foresee it happening now, because from here until when I go to Hawaii in October, which at that point we'll need those episodes,
I got them.
We're gonna
got them, buddy.
I don't foresee us taking any more time off, and in fact, we may start increasing the output, but one step at a time. So yeah, that's what's been going on here the last 2 weeks. For anybody that's been curious, what about you, Tony C? What's been going on with you? I know that I've had little contact with you the last couple weeks. We've laughed about a lot of things.
Yeah, been taking it easy for the most part. I know you had a laugh the past couple days. You seen your girl Liz in action over there. Across the pond.
She's just a doddering old bitch, you know?
Liz has been, she was in rare form the past couple days, yo.
She has to be. I mean, look who she's entertaining.
That's true. I mean, those hats Liz have on are priceless, yo.
Yeah.
Bucket hats. Oh my goodness.
And I do have SmackDown on, by the way, in the background, so that I can see when Goldberg shows up. I have it on the iPad because my TV my TV and stuff is not in here. So
a monumental moment with Bill Goldberg. You never thought you'd see the day that Bill Goldberg shows up on SmackDown.
Never. It is what it is.
Bill Goldberg.
So, yeah, I'm sure Charlie has gone up to Donald and be like, "Well, you know, my day really doesn't change. I'm just waiting for Mummy to die, and then things will get interesting. But until then, my day really doesn't change. I get up in the morning, I drink my coffee." Have breakfast, read the morning paper. I take a dump.
Like you. But I don't tweet.
I don't tweet. That's.
Did you see that?
That's rather unsanitary.
Did you see that the float of him on the actual shit?
No.
With the phone,
I did not.
Hey, let me tell you something about the Brits, man. When the Brits don't like you, they go all out.
Oh, please. Hey. How many times did M-Star go off on this show?
A month.
So, we know how they are. We know how they are.
They actually concocted a float with him on the crapper with a suit, with a full suit on, with that phone.
That's
funny. I almost died, yo. Because you know how much creativity and time they had to put into making that float?
Of course.
So, that was hilarious, yo. And then Liz taking shots at him, man.
Oh,
that damn Liz. I'll tell people she gonna outlive everybody.
Right, of course.
You still waiting on Liz to die.
She's gonna outlive all of us.
Thanos style.
She's gonna hijack these airwaves one day. When she's like 160. And I'm like, you see? I even outlived Surfer. And speaking of Surfer, he's not here to defend himself because he's probably at X-Men, like you just said. But what did we discover in these last 2 weeks, Tony C, that none of us could hardly believe?
That Surfer would pretty much do anything for something free.
Surfer entered a contest to get a free McDonald's breakfast courtesy of RuPaul's Drag Race. It is, listen, we're not here to say anything about the drag queens. We love the drag queens. It's Pride Month, after all. You know, and actually the first time I met Tony C was during Pride Week in Disney. I didn't know it was Pride Week. We just saw 500 lesbians walking into a club and didn't think anything of it. And then it hit us later on. But, and let me tell you something. I've been uncomfortable several times in my life, but that was probably one of the most uncomfortable instances I've ever had in my life, because when there's that many lesbians, you never know just what can happen. So,
broads walking around with flannel shirts on.
Oh my God, they were more butch than you and me combined. Good Lord.
Looking like they want to chop some lumber, baby.
Oh my God.
Butch is my name.
So yeah, we unearthed a secret from Surfer about that, and it was pretty funny. I should have this queued up for when he calls in, right?
Yep.
But
that's his new theme song.
It was unbelievable. None of us could. I couldn't believe it, and I had to. I couldn't just screenshot it. I had to. I videotaped the screen and sent it as proof.
I know Lee somewhere dancing when the song come on.
Oh man! So wait a minute. Hold on. Is it coming up here in a second? It is. You heard it? Okay.
Sylvester.
Oh, man.
That's Surfer new theme song.
So, yeah. It's going to be interesting to hear Surfer's take on that. How he can justify that.
I just wanted something free, okay? I wanted those hotcakes with sausage, okay? Dang, that bad?
That bad that you couldn't spend the, what, $3 and what, 20 cents? I think a big breakfast, like the with everything, is, I think, four something.
Short on change, okay?
Oh, man.
I don't want to do it.
They probably got him a McGriddle or something.
Oh, my gosh, yo. That dang Surfer.
Anything for a freebie, man. Anything for a freebie. Let me see if he's done any other freebies here. Movie sweepstakes. Something about a more movie stuff. Something about a block party in Philly.
Pizza surfer hanging out on a block.
But yeah, that whole thing on May 30th, that surfer, that was last Thursday. And here's the actual promo from the official RuPaul's Drag Race Twitter account.
Yes, honey. Listen, it's a fun and fabulous and early day on set today. And child, I need to wake up. As a matter of fact, why don't we all wake up? Wake up breakfast, that is, with McDonald's.
So, that's it. So, oh, wait a minute. Here's the full thing.
And the slurping, the unwrapping, and the brushing, the straightening, and the kicking.
There's gotta be a better way.
Ooh! Hallelujah! There is. Hi, I'm famous celebrity entertainer Shangela. And honey, if you're anything like me, you're fabulous. But you also want to get more out of your breakfast. Thanks to McDonald's, girl, you can. With their delicious breakfast sandwiches like the Sausage McMuffin made with a fresh cracked egg and an irresistible McCafe coffee, you will have one less reason to be a real bee in the morning. Ain't that right, Dana?
My name's Rachel.
You're an extra, baby. It doesn't matter. You know, it's time to rethink that name, Rachel. And it's time to wake up breakfast with McDonald's.
Follow at RuPaul's Drag Race on Twitter to find out how to win a morning egg essentials kit. RuPaul's Drag Race season finale, Thursday at 9, only on VH1.
So, there you go, Tony C.
Now, that doesn't mesh with that epic night on Freaks and Epic Geeks where he wasn't able to call for it. So...
No, of course
not. I think maybe he was hiding something.
Maybe.
That's why he was so animated that evening.
Now,
that epic evening.
Now, by the way, I want to break some story here. They, if you've been watching SmackDown, R-Truth won the 24/7 championship underneath the ring. There was a television camera under the ring.
Well, he won it the other day on the golf course.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I have a feeling that title's going to change hands a lot.
Oh my god!
This coming
goodness.
Friday, so just wait. We'll talk about what's going to be Friday as well in just a little bit. But so you just been hanging out, Tony C, huh?
Yeah, just been laying low, man. Just been laying low, best I can, you know, taking it easy. You know, nothing too strenuous, nothing too stressful.
All right, well, that's good.
Running some marathons, you know how I'm doing. You know, a little Unforgiving here, a little No Mercy there. Survivor Series, you know.
You're binging pay-per-views.
Pretty much, yeah. We're reliving some of the golden days, you know.
Well. There's a lot. Go ahead.
Trying to figure out how Psycho Sid became a face in one building, and you know, things of that nature.
Well, there is a segment of the audience that feels that wrestling is now experiencing its glory days, all because of one pay per view that took place in Las Vegas some 10 days ago.
I know that's a lie.
You know, I'm not here to put down All Elite Wrestling. And I'm not going to. I'm not going to spend the next 2 hours doing that. Or the hour and a half, or however long we're going to be on the air. But wait for TV to show up, folks, before you make a decision. Just because Dean Ambrose, a.k.a. Jon Moxley, is a part of the roster... doesn't mean that that's going to... I have seen so much crap over the last 2 weeks that AEW is going to put WWE out of business.
So Renee
because
Young...
Because of one pay-per-view, folks. One pay-per-view. You're making those comments.
Renee Young, real name is Renee Young Moxley.
I don't even think Jon Moxley is his real name.
No.
But, and actually, I read a report WWE is scrambling about what to do with Renee Young.
Oh, they don't like it on commentary, huh?
I think they're trying to politely get rid of Renee.
So because of what Dean did.
So that she can go be with Dean.
The old CM Punk thing. Huh?
And so we're going to see what happens in the at the end of August at All Out in Chicago. Because, you know, there's rumors going around that Tony Khan, the owner of AEW, is trying to secure Phil Brooks.
I love him when you call him the other name. So, what's CM Punk stand for, AA?
The Chicago-made Punk. But he says, he claims it's the Chick Magnet. Punk, but whatever. I like Chicago made better. So I don't know. I, you know what? I'm not gonna badmouth AEW. I tend to agree a lot with what Jim Cornette said. A lot of people feel that Jim Cornette's comments regarding certain people were unjust and uncalled for, particularly Sonny King. Or Sonny Kiss, sorry, Sonny King was another wrestler in the old days. Sonny Kiss is a gay, very effeminate wrestler who worked in Battle Royal. And there's nothing wrong with that, but Jim Cornette called him a transvestite.
Not a tranny, he called him an actual full transvestite?
Yeah, so, and he said that nobody told us why he's dressed like that. Well, Jim Cornette's right. Maybe we should have some explanation, because what if you're debuting a lot of these people to a worldwide audience and they don't know who they are? I agree with Jim Cornette there. And I don't think Sonny Kiss or anybody else should take that his comments personally. And as Jim Cornette said, he managed the exotic Adrian Street, who was an effeminate, borderline tranny wrestler from the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah.
So don't. I wouldn't read too far into that. Jim Cornette is the most.
He's woke when it comes to stuff like that, right?
People say that he's too old school, and you're right. Maybe he is too old school, and I am too. But he had some very valid points and arguments.
You're a traditionalist, AA, when it comes to your wrestling.
It has nothing to do with tradition here. This has to do with putting on a decent wrestling show. And I'm not going to go in and out and say that AEW did not put on a decent wrestling show, because I did not watch the pay-per-view. I only watched bits and pieces of it. But what I did see, I saw pot shots at WWE, which I figured was going to happen. But I think that AEW should not do pot shots, and they should just focus on themselves. Don't worry about what WWE is doing. I will make one comment, and I think it's been a universal agreement in what I'm about to say. The commentary was horrendous.
Really? JR?
Well, it wasn't Jim Ross's fault. The lead commentator of that pay-per-view was Alex Marvez, a sports writer from the Miami Herald. I don't know what experience he has as a wrestling commentator, but he did a piss poor job. And for it to be his first outing, not a good sign. How could they put an unknown, somebody who's never done wrestling, to do a pay-per-view? And his color commentator was Excalibur, a guy wearing a mask. I don't know. I don't know if somebody should be wearing a mask, you know, on a pay-per-view as a
color. Schiavone wasn't available.
Tony Schiavone has a contract with Major League Wrestling. Okay, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do this here. Hold on. All right. Tony C, you there? Hold on, we're getting Tony C on the call here. Tony C? Tony C. Surfer.
Yes.
All right, Tony C. He'll pick it up here in a second. But anyways, hold on. Close
TV. So you're talking about All In? You
I'm talking that? About it. Yeah. There's Tony C. Tony C.
Let's go in zone.
So yeah, it was not a good outing for the announcers of all of AEW.
JR don't have it no more.
It wasn't Jim Ross. It was Alex Marvez and Excalibur who did a horrible job. Because even JR could not carry them.
Double A, you gotta play his intro.
Well, music. I will in 1 second. I will in 1 second. So yeah, that's my 2 cents on AEW. If they get their stuff together, okay, they may have a chance to be a viable promotion. But so far, they've only done one show. So for those of you out there that are making all these comments that they're going to put WWE out of business and that WWE needs to be scared and blah, 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 you don't understand wrestling. Because first of all, WWE's not going anywhere.
Okay. Second, you shouldn't want them to be put out of business.
Exactly.
What difference does it make to you if they go out of business or not? It's not like you stand to gain from them going out of business.
Get to say, I told you so.
And
without competition, you get slack for wrestling.
And Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, whatever you want to call him, went on Chris Jericho's podcast last week and aired his grievances and basically said that the blame for everything is centered on one person and one person only. And we know who that person is. It's Vince. So look at it this way, folks. As long as we've got Vince, this is the WWE that you have. Unless Vince gets a wake-up call and he decides to change things, things are not going to change in the WWE for a period of time. If Vince steps down, things are going to change drastically. I guarantee it.
You know what happens to people that are ahead of the game when they come along? Eventually, they fall behind.
But anyways, Surfer.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
You sure?
Yes.
How have you been? I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks.
What's this disco music?
Look, I've decided that when I like to talk to Tony C and you and things, I like putting music in the background.
You're playing Sylvester, huh?
I want to know just how are things with you?
It's been okay. I mean, I had some funerals I attended the last couple weeks for family members.
Some funerals, not just a funeral, some funerals.
So, yeah, a couple funerals.
Okay.
Plus, my cousin died, then her mother died.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Oh, to hear that.
Sorry.
And then, we can't go because he lives down in Florida.
Okay.
Her grandson died.
Look at this. That's just terrible. What's going on? People are dropping like flies, Surfer.
Well, you know.
Has to be this heat. It's been too hot lately.
It's different reasons.
Different.
But the thing is, it's always an event when I meet family members I've never met before in my life.
Well, that's how it is with most people, you know.
It was funny. My sister was in town because one of her granddaughters just graduated high school.
Okay.
And she's like, we should have a family reunion. And I'm like, you know, that's a disaster every time we have a family reunion. I've been to two family reunions. It always ends in the disaster because it's just too many people and everybody don't know everybody. And at some point, somebody's going to get into an argument and it just escalates.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's unfortunate. Now, let me ask you, Surfer. Have you eaten any interesting foods lately?
interesting foods? Like
not just anything, just in general. Have you barbecued recently? Anything in the rotisserie? Anything like that?
Nah, I haven't cooked anything extraordinary. Just been cooking
normal making stuff.
Last thing I made was barbecue chicken sandwiches.
They make barbecue chicken sandwiches. Pretty much the standard fare.
Yep.
Have you had McDonald's recently?
No, I don't. I mean, I eat McDonald's from time to time, but it's not like a.
What do you like? What do you like to get from McDonald's?
Well, quarter pound is fine. The regular burgers make me sick.
Okay.
Filet of fish and the pigeon nuggets are fine, you know.
Okay. Do you ever eat breakfast at McDonald's?
No.
You never eat breakfast at McDonald's?
Well, I don't eat pork, so.
Well, but you can.
It limits what I can eat. But you can eat. Which is the hotcakes.
You can eat hotcakes. You can eat an egg McMuffin.
A McGriddle.
Egg McMuffin has ham. Has the Canadian bacon.
Not just a plain egg McMuffin. You can have. You can have a. What is it? There's another thing that they have.
The McGriddle.
You can have a chicken biscuit. They serve that for breakfast now.
I've had that.
You know. Okay, so. But you're not a big fan. You're not a big fan of the McDonald's breakfast.
No.
Okay. So can we ask a very important question?
Here we go.
Why the hell did you enter a McDonald's free breakfast contest courtesy of RuPaul's Drag Race?
It wasn't a breakfast. They only give you breakfast. They just give you other freebie stuff. And I didn't win, so...
So now you denying that you were trying to get a breakfast.
Yeah, it wasn't a breakfast.
We played the commercial on the air, you know.
What commercial?
The commercial for the breakfast. For the
contest.
I don't know no commercials.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
So you... Let me... Okay, hold on. You did not... So did this right here... Okay, listen, this doesn't sound familiar.
Morning, it's the same old story. The pouring.
Hold on.
The unwrapping and the brushing. The straightening and the kicking.
Now, I never heard this commercial.
There's gotta be a better way.
Woo!
Hallelujah! There is. Hi, I'm famous celebrity entertainer Shangela. And honey, if you're anything like me, you're fabulous. But you also want to get more out of your breakfast. Thanks to McDonald's, girl, you can. With their delicious breakfast sandwiches like the sausage McMuffin made with a fresh cracked egg and an irresistible McCafe coffee, you will have one less reason to be a real bee in the morning. Ain't that right, Dana?
My name's Rachel.
You're an extra, baby. It doesn't matter. You know, it's time to rethink that name, Rachel. And it's time to wake up breakfast with McDonald's.
Follow at RuPaul's Drag Race on Twitter to find out how to win a morning egg essentials kit. RuPaul's Drag Race season finale, Thursday at 9, only on VH1.
So you did not...
Breakfast.
You did not enter a contest with the hashtag YasBreakfast.
Yeah, I entered a contest, but they don't give you food. Not to my knowledge. Here, go to Twitter, and you can see what people are winning.
I know that you've been entering a lot of contests to win vodka. I've been seeing a lot of that lately.
Yeah, you trying to drink your problems away, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Vodka.
I haven't won that.
A lot of vodka.
You're drinking a lot of different things.
And I thought, here's another contest he entered for breakfast. The breakfast first hashtag. With breakfast first hashtag. That was another one. But a lot of vodka. A lot of vodka lately. But when I saw that come across my Twitter machine last Thursday, you know, I was at work and it damn near knocked me over. So I just had to find out. I had to get down to the bottom of it, you know, because I just want to make sure you're not hiding something from us.
It's okay if you are. Oh, man.
There's no inner Jack Lee inside of me or anything like that.
I mean, if you want to get in touch with your inner circle, that's up to you.
I did see Rocket Man over the weekend.
See, Nas making a lot of sense. You saw Rocket Man. You applied for contests with drag queens. This is all okay. I got a question, Double A. Why the hell does Goldberg still need police security at this age?
I have no clue.
So, just real quick, if I say one of my top 10 favorite movies is To Wong Fu, what does that mean?
Nothing.
That just goes in line with you.
With your breakfast eating habits.
Want to be in that contest, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That just tells us what you like for breakfast. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh,
nothing against it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is June after all, Surfer.
I feel you. Will you touch me?
Anyways, as I said, this is the final time we're broadcasting from this studio today, so that's why if you hear an echo, that's what's going on. Move to our
you moving across town?
I'm moving across the hall. The studio is going to the next room. Now that this studio is almost finished remodeling, the new studio is done and ready for our debut next week.
You got state-of-the-art stuff in here?
No. It'll be the same old equipment, but it'll be new and improved environment.
And you got your new chair and everything.
No, I don't have the new chair just yet. That's coming soon. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Now, I was talking about AEW, and one thing that I want to talk about before Goldberg shows up on SmackDown for the first time, and I wonder, will SmackDown go abruptly off the air like Raw did last night for The Undertaker?
That's terrible.
Because they cut.
He shouldn't take so long to get to the ring.
Well, they cut The Undertaker off, and for some ridiculous USA show.
They don't do over no more.
Really? Breaking news.
I'm
saying, you know, The Undertaker has a slow entrance.
It has nothing to do with the entrance.
They should have had that time better.
No, I agree with that. I told you he needs to be American Badass, so he ride the motorcycle down there, get him down there quick.
Oh, man. Is this going to be like the oldest wrestling match in the history of wrestling?
We'll talk about that in 1 second, but I have to play this, and I don't know if, Tony, see if you had a chance to hear this, but I want to take everybody back to, let me see, what's the date on this that they put on here? Give me 1 second here as I queue it up. Here we go. January 11th, 2001. Okay, I want everybody to hear this because I found it very interesting. Okay? And it involves Goldberg, in a way.
Their plans to acquire WCW from Turner Broadcasting and relaunch it as a separate autonomous entity.
This morning we announced to our staff that Turner Broadcasting, Time Warner, has sold WCW World Championship Wrestling, Inc. to Fusion Media Ventures.
I just wanted to comment on how excited we are to be making this acquisition from Turner and to be partnering with Eric Bischoff to do this. We believe in the product, we believe in the future, and I think all the ingredients are here to produce a winning franchise again.
We were nailing down our...
There we go. Now, Tony C, have you gone into the network and heard that yet?
No, sir, I hadn't.
What? You know the first voice you heard in that call? You know whose voice that was?
Who was it?
Brad Siegel.
Yeah, being his brother.
And it was Brad Siegel who ultimately killed WCW.
Yeah, it was.
You can go to the WWE Network right now and watch the Untold special that they have up there of the failed relaunch of WCW. Eric Bischoff and a group called Fusion Media, headed by Brian Bedall, they were going to relaunch WCW in 60 days after the purchase from Turner Broadcasting, and they were to debut on May 6, 2001 on pay-per-view with a pay-per-view called The Big Bang. Obviously, those things never happened because they had set up the agreement in a way that it was going to be good for Fusion Media to buy WCW. And then, well, this happened.
Strategies and tactics on how to relaunch the brand, what it was going to look like, feel like. We knew that we weren't going to be able to travel the show the way we did with Nitro.
I had a relationship with Peter Morton, who owned the Hard Rock at the time. We had reached a handshake with the Hard Rock to create a permanent venue for WCW in Las Vegas.
Eric had talked to me about moving to Vegas. I was going to be Eric's right-hand man to help run the company once Fusion bought it and we moved the whole operation out to Vegas.
I think having somebody like Johnny in there that would have really allowed us to come up, and I used to refer to it as two- and three-dimensional finishes, where you think you see the finish coming or you think you know what the finish is going to be, and just when you're absolutely convinced you're right, bam, you know, the story in the ring kind of takes a different direction. Now you're really sure you know what the finish is going to be, and bam, it changes direction again.
Well, I mean, everybody was on edge, as you can imagine, because everybody's thinking, what if this happens? How does that include me into this? And as a talent especially, they would be asking, what is going to be my role within this company, or am I out of a job?
We had to overcome a lot of bad branding. It was my opinion that we should go on a hiatus for 3 to 6 months. During that period of time, building anticipation for the resurrection, if you will, the rebirth, the rebranding, whatever you want to call it. So the idea of the big, you know, the Big Bang pay-per-view, we knew we were going to do one. We knew we wanted to call it the Big Bang, but we had no idea who was going to be on that show or what that show was going to look like. We just knew we were going to do it. We weren't interested in going back to what we used to do in any way, shape, or form. And the emphasis would have been, you know, it would have been much more on wrestling.
I think it was going to be from the Hard Rock. And I think it was just going to be, you know, a pyro-filled, you know, I think that, you know, part of the name, the Big Bang, was that, you know, there were going to be sort of, you know, the kinds of explosions that, you know, happened in action movies, but not in wrestling. It was going to be a spectacle.
And then you started hearing rumblings of the relaunch, and I don't think I ever saw any documentation about the Big Bang, but I remember going, okay, I like the name. It's new, it's fresh, we're heading somewhere, but what is it? Anything is better than the environment we're working in now.
I remember thinking that I thought the Big Bang name was terrible. Because the Big Bang is you create something out of nothing. So you would be admitting that WCW is nothing.
I can honestly say this is the first time I had ever heard about the Big Bang. Never heard anything about pay-per-view that was going to bring us out of all that debt, put us back on the map, and get us back in a winning position.
We started looking at the talent roster and determining who we could afford to keep, who we wanted to keep, who we didn't need to keep, who we couldn't afford, and just going through that analysis.
We were looking to get away from sort of the in-your-face, day-to-day sort of competition that, you know, we thought, let's go and build something that is similar but feels very different, that establish our own tone and personality. And at some point, you know, sort of go and begin to be the battle brand. And I remember being really excited about the creative plan. You like to think it would work, but, you know, who knows?
What would have been, I think, a crisper, more fluent storytelling team, and creative team, along with the execution in the ring that would have really brought a great story to life in a much bigger way. The majority of the people that I talked to really genuinely, you know, missed WCW. And it had its own loyal audience, despite the fact that we lost many of them. If we would have been able to, through the absence makes the heart grow fonder factor, by, you know, shutting it down for a period of time and building up the right kind of anticipation from a marketing and PR point of view to make people even more excited about what it could be. That kind of thing takes time, but I firmly believe then, as I do now, that had it been done properly and executed properly, we might not have gotten everybody back, and we may not have made people decide that they would rather watch us now, but we would have certainly been able to, you know, reclaim a good portion, if not the majority, of the audience that had just grown sour on us.
Nobody could really fathom this whole thing's going away overnight. It's going to burn down like instantaneously. I don't think anybody could really fathom the thought of that. So it was more of, in my opinion, okay, what is the transition going to look like? They're going to rename it. They're going to throw out some old stuff, add some new stuff. It was more or less a rebranding with new ownership. We had some high hopes that we were going to come out of the corporate funk, so to speak.
We were literally a week or so away from closing. And I knew that once we closed the deal, I knew that I was going to go back to working 18-hour days, 7 days a week again, which was I was excited about. But I also knew that I wouldn't have a lot of time for my family. So I flew my wife and my kids and a couple of their friends, and we all went out to Hawaii. And it was while I was in Hawaii, I got a phone call from Brian Badal. And he said, "Eric, it's done." You know, I was about ready to jump, you know, in the air at the beach and spill my Mai Tai all over me and my wife and, you know, scream like a village idiot, you know, on the beach in Waikiki. And he said, "No, Eric, you don't get it. It's done, like it's over. We're not going forward." All of a sudden, everything I thought that was going to go on for the next couple of years just evaporated into thin air. I was stunned.
The big get was, you know, owning this two-hour Wednesday night slot on TBS for 10 years. And ultimately, that was a big part of what killed the deal. You know, I got a call one day, I think it was from Brad, basically saying, "Great news." You know, I think it was Jamie Kellner had come in. Jamie has approved the deal with just one slight tweak. The Wednesday night slot, instead of being guaranteed for 10 years, we, you know, get a 60-day out. That wasn't acceptable to us. They made it clear that the Wednesday night slot was off the table, and I think that we said, you know, without that, we just don't know how we can make the deal work.
Eric had had his ups and downs and had the highest of highs and lowest of lows. If he had that other opportunity again, knowing what he went through, the good and the bad, I believe he would have taken the reset, a huge opportunity to sort of get out of the weeds of the corporate BS that him and so many others had to deal with.
Eric Bischoff, he did a whole lot for me. If it would have been a...
There you go. That's what happened. They were they were told that they were going to get a 10-year deal for 2 hours every Wednesday night on TBS, and they pulled the rug from under them and pulled the TV deal out, and they said, "Screw you, we're selling to WWE.
We're going to sell it to Vince."
On pennies on the dollar, because Eric said how much the deal was worth. It was for $68 million.
I know Jericho said he could have bought it. Remember?
Well, for what Vince paid.
Yeah.
So, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, I suggest you go to the WWE Network and watch that special. You know, that was probably about a quarter of it that I just played. But it's really something that everybody needs to take a listen to. All right. Let's talk some wrestling. Because, you know, Friday there's a pay-per-view. Um,
They don't know what they're doing with this Super Showdown thing.
No, it's just there. It's there for an audience of one.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
As long as he's happy, he don't care about nothing else.
Is Seth Rollins still alive?
He's still alive.
He's still alive. So, is Vince supposed to be upset that he hurt Seth Rollins?
You know what? I read an article, or Dean said, that Brock could come in, change creative, and Vince just goes along with it.
Yeah. That's what he said on one of the podcasts.
On Jericho's podcast. So
yeah,
I don't know.
And you know, I'm seeing reports like that Vince is avoiding people backstage. You
I
can't approach him. Him and Triple H is having heat.
I believe it.
Brock is
it's like Vince has just got no.
But Brock has been Vince's boy. But people don't remember. They tend to forget. Brock Lesnar was Vince's prize way back when.
I ain't saying
it's right. I'm just saying.
If
he wouldn't have left, a lot of stuff wouldn't have came. Him leaving opened the door for people like Cena. And
actually, you think it's Cena. I think it's more down the line. Because after he left, he had Cena, Orton, and Edge all at the top of the card. Now, Edge wouldn't have been at the top of the card.
JBL was at the top of the card.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm saying, the three mainstays.
No, they didn't come in. Cena didn't get his push until 05, late 04.
Right. You keep saying if Brock had stayed, then maybe Cena wouldn't have gotten a push. I think it would have been down the line. I think somebody like Edge wouldn't have got his push.
Cena wouldn't have gotten either. Because, see, Brock had already beat the hell out of Cena at Backlash when he won the title. John Cena wasn't on Vince McMahon radar. None of them cats was. It was all about Triple H and Brock Lesnar. And when he decided to leave, that's when.
Why do you think Brock Lesnar is this super draw that's going to save his company?
I don't know. You have to ask him that.
He's lost his mind.
I mean, is Brock Lesnar a draw in UFC still?
No.
No, he can't even fight over there.
So, but anyways. Real quick.
Oh, God, he's finna go over this card.
I have to.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll go over real quick. Because, you know, we're broadcast journalists after all. As you can hear, the theme song is Legends Will Never Die. Or Legends Will Rise, sorry. Let's see here. The card, well, it's from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, at the King Abdullah Sports Stadium. Here we go. There are 9 matches on the card, and they go like this. Lars Sullivan will go 3-on-1 in a handicap match against the Lucha House Party. Roman Reigns will face Shane McMahon in 1-on-1 action. Braun Strowman will face Bobby Lashley. We just saw it right now on SmackDown. Goldberg goes 1-on-1 with The Undertaker for the very first time.
Double A, real quick. How long before Shane McMahon is WWE champion for the first time?
Before the end of the year.
Gotcha.
Triple H goes 1-on-1 with Randy Orton for the first time ever. There will be a 50-man over the top rope battle royal. The winner, I don't know, but I suspect there's going to be a lot of 24/7 championship matches going on within that battle royal. The WWE championship is on the line. The WWE championship is on the line when Kofi Kingston defends his title against Dolph Ziggler. And your main event, excuse me, I got another championship match. The Demon, Finn Balor, will defend the Intercontinental Championship against Andrade. And the Universal title is on the line when the champion Seth Rollins goes one-on-one against the challenger, Baron Corbin. Of course, Brock said last night on Raw, Friday. So,
he might have been saying that's where you want to eat at.
That's right. TGI Fridays. 2 p.m. on the East Coast, 11 a.m. on the West Coast. If you're in the United States for this pay-per-view, of course.
Okay, I got a question about this briefcase situation. How can they make him cash it in when nobody else was made to cash in?
Well, they're not making him cash it in.
Because he must be disrespecting the
Well, Stephanie came on the internet before last night.
No, she said that she was going to address his actions.
Oh, him using that as Radio Raheem?
I guess. But they didn't address his actions.
But you know, a lot of people said they found him being, like, goofy.
I got to tell you, that whole Brock party thing, I love it.
It's because it's a different side of him.
Exactly.
It's, you know what I'm saying? He can go from that to what happened to Seth Rollins, pretty much, you know?
So we'll see. He may cash it in this coming Friday at at Super Showdown.
Saturday!
It wouldn't be the first time he wins the Universal title in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's true.
Sunday!
Have a bunch of clips of him just saying different days of the week.
That's all that, exactly.
The way he threw that paper at Heyman a week ago. I got a year,
and he just was smacking him like if it was a newspaper.
The way he threw that briefcase at Heyman.
Last night, too.
Heyman's chest was hurting, man. He double chest basketball passed the suitcase to him. He said, without notice. Oh my God.
You think he has Heyman sitting at home in a apron, you know, a maize apron waiting on him hand and foot?
No, sir.
No, he got Sable for that.
Exactly. That's his thing.
Sable's in the bedroom.
No,
somebody got cookie cleaning.
She's in every room of the house.
Corn fed man, she had. How long before she go in the Hall of Fame? This year? Next year?
I don't think
it's
ever.
It's coming. Oh, if Tori Wilson go in, Sable definitely getting in.
But see, I could see Brock wanting a lot of money for her going in.
Man, he didn't even think it's about the money with her.
Oh, he's about the money. He's about every dime.
Brock probably got money in the mattress.
Yeah, he doesn't believe
shoe boxes.
He doesn't believe in the bank.
Yeah.
The closest bank he's going to get to his money.
If it caves into his every demand, what do you expect? I mean, anybody else he'd have told him to fuck out, but for some reason with him, it's like.
You heard what Cornette said.
Even when they're supposed to have beef, he still does what he wants.
You heard what Cornette said about. He said if he had a beef with Brock Lesnar, he was going to shoot him. Yeah, that one run in with him. He said he was going. I'm just going to shoot him.
I mean, let's not forget what he did to Vince.
Through that here damn title belt.
Here it is. Here's the audio. There you go. Asshole. I love that.
It's like, you know, first of all, you know he doesn't want to be there. And he's just there because he's getting paid a shitload of money.
They could save all that money and do so much. But whatever. I don't know.
Don't do Brock like that. He was gone for a long time. Now he got a lot of money to make up. He's gone for a long time. We got to build his bank back up. Go to Brock houses, money and shoes and their shoe Maybe boxes.
Brock should be the 24/7 champion.
Now that would be fun.
That was the best part of Monday night. Was R-Truth under
the ring? Well, you didn't see SmackDown because the title changed hands under the ring today.
Did it change back?
R-Truth lost the title to Elias, and then R-Truth dragged Elias under the ring, and the title changed hands because the referee was under the ring, and there is footage of them under the ring.
Elias is a two-time champion.
And R-Truth is now a four-time champion because R-Truth won and lost the title Sunday on a golf course.
Yeah, I saw that. So I mean, they got it on the right person. If they're gonna have goofiness with this belt.
I can't wait till Drake Maverick becomes the champion.
And you know that's coming.
It is coming, so
he is hunting hard for that.
But I have not been watching 205 Live, so I don't know if, you know, when 205 Live starts, he stops hunting R-Truth. So, but
R-Truth say I've been working hard.
He has been.
365 days, 24 hours a day, plus holidays.
I know, man. That European title, man, that's a heavy burden.
X-Pac ain't never worked this hard when he was the European champion.
Oh, man.
Neither did Shane. It's hilarious, yo.
And real quick.
You know what? I really thought that maybe Roman Reigns was going to pin somebody last week when it was after that match.
Why would Roman Reigns want to be 24/7 champion?
Hold on. Here's the audio of the match under the ring. Just listen. One, two, three. There you go.
Now, were they actually under the ring? Or was
they were under the ring. There's video of them under the ring.
I understand what you're saying, but remember when Hornswoggle used to go under the ring?
No, they were under the ring.
Right, there was a whole world under there.
No, this was under the ring. They were under the ring. Here was the reaction of when it happened. Hold on.
Shane McMahon had said on the phone, allegedly, that Elias is the opponent. So one-on-one, it's Truth defending the title against Elias. And now that I'm looking at all these lumberjacks here at ringside, many of these superstars are going to participate in the 50-man Battle Royal this Friday at WWE Super Showdown.
Elias has already knocked Truth off for the 24/7 title once. Ooh.
Here comes another.
A right to the face. Here's the cover by Elias.
Oh, come
and
on.
Elias has won his second 24/7 title.
Here is your winner. Champion, Elias!
Hey guys, wait. The match is over. Elias is fair game again.
Reality's just setting in, Elias.
Oh no.
Oh my god, and they're swarming Elias.
You wanted the 24/7 title. Now you gotta deal with the repercussions.
Wait, guys, but Elias? I don't think anybody realizes. There's so much chaos in the ring. Elias is getting out of Dodge.
Well, Elias might be the luckiest man in the building then.
Or the smartest.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Get him, Truth.
Truth is going after Elias underneath the ring.
The title's up for grabs under there as well.
The Lumberjacks have no idea what's going on. They're beating the hell out of each other.
Cedric Alexander fighting Arthur Shelby in there. Look, oh my God, Cedric to the outside.
There goes Robert Roode, who lost his mustache, unfortunately. Why did the bell ring?
Hold on a second.
Wait a minute. Truth. How in the world did that happen? How could the timekeeper see that? Why is Hamilton talking? Why did the referee see that?
Calm down, Tom.
R-Truth.
The referee's decision is final. Clearly, R-Truth.
By the way, that man Diamond is the general manager of 205 Live.
R-Truth, run!
Now, there is a title for a promotion in Japan that also inanimate objects have won the title.
Wow.
So, I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of interesting things with this title.
You know, people are saying, how come they just didn't make it a hardcore title? Well, who wants to put their body through that all the time?
That, and I think this is more entertaining.
24/7.
You know, because, listen, when Crash Holly was the hardcore champion, he was a great hardcore champion. He did a great job. Especially that infamous match he had at the Fun Zone, where he was going down the slides and wrestling in the ball pit and all that stuff.
And that was a 24/7 belt.
That was also a 24/7 title. Well, no, it was the hardcore title with a 24/7 right.
rule.
Who said they were going to defend it? One of the wrestlers won it and said they were going to defend it 24/7. And from that point on, that's how it
was. It was Crash.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It started with
I remember
Crash.
Christian won it. I think at WrestleMania X8. He was getting ready. That's the funniest title defense I've ever seen.
That's what made the hardcore title interesting was that 24/7 rule.
But Christian was getting ready to leave that building and Maven snuck up from behind and beat him and stole his runner car.
But then you get that without the, you know, all the tables and chairs and attacks and.
Ain't that like somebody get beat, they're getting their rental car stole. I'm out of here. And Maven was the hardcore champion.
Whatever happened to that dude?
I don't know.
He has so much promise after winning Tough Enough.
And throwing the Undertaker out of that damn Royal Rumble.
That was a great moment.
That really was. And the look on the Undertaker face was priceless. And then the fact that The Rock kept throwing it up in his face.
Hey, it's like it doesn't pay. It never pays to win Tough Enough.
Didn't The Miz win it?
No, he was a runner up.
Somebody pouring liquid.
There, that surfer. He's pouring some
vodka.
He's throwing that vodka around like that. He's been winning left, right, and sideways.
Just some water.
Drowning his sorrow.
It's just water.
We're going through some interesting times right now in wrestling.
What if they bring back Maven to let him be R-Truth and become the 24/7 champion?
They let anybody come in and beat R-Truth. Tatanka.
When is the belt going to show up on NXT?
When is the what?
The belt going to show up on NXT.
Give it a chance.
Give it
time.
Give it time.
I keep waiting for Carmella to pin R-Truth.
It'll happen. Give it a chance. Give it a chance. It'll happen inadvertently, but it'll happen.
It's going to be a unisex belt.
It's going to end up on NXT. It'll end up on the main event.
You know, oh, my God, Joe. This is hilarious.
Somehow it'll end up on WCW Saturday Night. Could you imagine that?
They're going to end up fighting in the R-Truth going to show up at AEW parking lot.
Exactly.
Be on Saturday Night Main Event.
Wait a minute! What the hell? R-Truth is in the Impact Zone!
Oh my God. Disney imposing R-Truth into these buildings.
Coming down.
And R-Truth comes down. And R-Truth.
He can be the Dixieland Max of TNA.
R-Truth is like, I haven't been here in years!
That's right. They're going to show R-Truth winning defending 24/7 title at WrestleMania X8.
I used to be the world champion here. He'll tell her, I used to be the world champion here.
Oh, my God. Digitally imposing R-Truth in these different events.
Can you imagine when they do the 24 I'm a blank. The documentary on R-Truth's run as
Dark Side of the Ring. Dark Side of the Ring.
No. The 24/7 documentaries.
The 24 about R-Truth.
WWE 24.
Yeah.
About him winning.
About him having these runs as the 24/7
champion. 24/7
champion,
yo.
Somehow,
now
you know. Could you imagine Michael Cole being there on Raw, and like, we don't know how, but we just know that somehow over the course of this weekend, Lou Thesz beat R-Truth for the 24/7 title.
Bob Backlund gonna come in and beat R-Truth.
Okay, fellas, how would you have felt that when Mick Foley unveiled the belt, he'd have said, "Here is the new television title"?
I would have hoped that WWE would have taken it seriously.
Yeah.
And then, you know, done things the old fashioned way in that regard, where a television title match is 10 minutes on TV, 15 minutes on pay-per-view, or was it 20 minutes on pay-per-view?
It was 20 minutes.
20 minutes on pay-per-view. And really, you know, follow those rules, but I don't know. I don't know if they would have done it. So,
but would that have made you happy?
I would have enjoyed it.
No, the belt's ugly.
This belt is ugly.
No. Forget the design. All I'm saying
I can't forget the design.
It would have been a TV title.
I would have liked it, but I don't think that it would have been treated with dignity.
This, I needed a better design.
This is perfect for what they're doing. Okay?
It would have been a different design.
It would have been a title in the shape of a TV.
Yep, no, WWE.
An old-fashioned one?
Or a WWE Network thing. I don't know.
A UHF. TV.
Look at that. The Midnight Express is still actively competing. So maybe the members of the Midnight Express or the Rock and Roll Express can win the 24/7 title.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
Robert Gibson.
Wait a minute. That's Bobby Eaton. What the hell? Bobby Eaton with the Alabama Slam.
So they're doing a 50-man battle royal.
Yes.
Who's not going on the trip? Cena,
Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. They said a lot of NXT guys are going to be in that battle royal. So,
but Sami Zayn can't go.
No, they don't want them to go because of his Syrian background or some shit like that. But yeah. Whatever.
Maybe the Iron Sheik could show up. That'll really go over.
God.
Oh man, could you imagine? Oh wait, I want to cue it up like right there. Okay, like wait a minute, Bobby Eaton. He hit the Alabama Slam, the Alabama Jam, or what was it? The Alabama Jam.
Alabama Jam.
The Alabama Jam. 1, 2, 3. I don't believe it. Bobby Eaton's the 24/7 champion. Some shit like that. Something goofy. Or, you know, if Bruno was still alive, Bruno could have done it. I have a feeling Corey Graves is going to win the title.
How long before Triple H get that belt? You know he got to get every belt.
It's Shane getting it before Triple H.
One of the ring announcers is going to do it. I think, but...
Because Triple H ain't no got no time to be doing some 24/7
shit. Tony C said that Shane McMahon's going to be WWE champion. And I believe that's true. I believe that's going to happen before the year is out. So
he doing his best in the world thing he putting it on too thick. So eventually.
So who?
But he's actually doing a very good job. So
he's never been a bad hand in the ring.
Well, What were you going to say, Surfer?
I said Roman's going to take it off Shane.
What, the title?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Just don't be shocked when it happens. Something like that, you know what would be funny, Double A, if something like that happened at a house show. If we come on SmackDown, breaking news. Shane McMahon, the new WWE champion.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God. And they might as well call Raw and SmackDown, they back to the Super Show thing. I don't know why they just won't do that. I didn't have a problem when they did the Raw Super Show. I mean, people had to work twice, but hey, that's what they're doing now. Everybody popping up on everybody's on different shows.
Yeah, this wild card thing is bogus, you know.
Let's do the Super Show.
And the third hour is already gone.
Yes.
The third hour of Raw being different is already...
Yeah, out the window.
It's already out the window, it looks like.
Because...
Oh, so they're going to go to 2 hours?
No, the third, I wish.
SmackDown always kick their butt because 2 hours, that extra hour make a whole lot of difference, boy.
It's not that, but, you know.
It is that.
I'm saying you get less of the talking backstage on SmackDown than you do on Raw. With Raw, they can come out the first 45 minutes just standing in the ring talking.
Less filler. Shout out to Mark.
And then by the time you get a match, it's the same match we've been seeing for the last 3 or 4 weeks, a 6-man tag team.
Creative ain't too creative right now.
Friday! Saturday!
Like I said, When you're ahead of your time, like Vince was back in the day, at some point.
But that's the thing. Vince was never ahead of the time. Vince never did anything on his own.
He just outlasted everybody.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he was ahead of the time saying he could see
WrestleMania.
I'm saying he could see wrestling being global as opposed to just. Territories, yes.
Lee just said that Raw had 39 minutes of wrestling last night, and I believe it. And then on top of that, they still went over because they cut The Undertaker off. But I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's another guy. Just hang it up. I mean...
But it's not. But that's the thing.
They just keep throwing money at these.
That's
people.
The thing. When there's money, they have to. They call. You know what? Mark,
can you get The Undertaker for $2 million?
Exactly.
Listen.
How much do you think Goldberg is getting paid for this?
When it comes to The Undertaker, right? Depending on who he's in the ring with at this point, you may get a good looking match.
They don't care.
It's no way you would get a good match between him and Goldberg.
Yeah, but the guy said, here's a check. You write in a number. I need Goldberg and The Undertaker.
Exactly.
I get that. I'm saying it's going to be a horrible match. There's not going to be no wrestling move.
Who's expecting it to be a 5-star classic?
And I think WWE's doing everybody in a disservice by saying that this is going to be on the level of WrestleMania.
These two icons clashing for the first time. This is going to be an all-time match.
They both going to be laying there taking breaks. As long as that check clear, baby. I'm coming home.
But I got a question. Who's going to win?
Goldberg.
Double A, you know Michelle McCool is from Palatka, Florida.
I never knew that either.
So I'm going to left Sarah for somebody from a podunk town called Palatka.
That's right outside of St. Augustine.
Daytona, yeah. All 95. Yeah. God, dog, Undertaker.
So what's the chance this might be one of those Goldberg just hits a quick spear on Undertaker?
He ain't squashing the Undertaker. He ain't Roman Reigns. Don't we still got to get Roman Reigns against Goldberg too?
I don't know.
The spear against the spear?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's next. That's at the next
Saudi
show.
Next, that'll be the next one. The one in October or November.
So Hulk Hogan is going to open the show?
Maybe.
And Paul Heyman going to power walk to the music. Little double A can laugh.
But, oh my God, I saw that the other day again, and I just can't get enough of that. I love that.
Oh my God, yo.
I love that. Every time I see that, I get a chuckle. I chuckle, I chuckle, I chuckle. I think I'm going to. It is just, it's so silly to see.
Obscure.
Beyond obscure. Okay? Beyond obscure. I mean, that is just. Hold on. I got to resume.
Speaking of Heyman, that argument him and JR had.
Go ahead. Go. What were you saying?
Him and JR had an argument at Survivor Series 01 before the main event. And he said, go ahead. Heyman said, go ahead. Quit. Sign off right now. And JR said, Jim Cornette could have your job tomorrow, pal. I was dying, yo. That whole pay-per-view commentary between, you want a good laugh, between JR and Paul Heyman before Survivor Series 2001, during, oh my God, right.
Lights on, Alexa, what do you think, Greg? Those pythons.
You got long sleeves on, Renee.
Well, that's the advocate for the Universal Champion.
And there he is walking. It's so silly.
Double A laugh so hard, yo.
You know, when it happened, somebody tweeted out a thing that said Paul Heyman is a real American, and Paul Heyman retweeted it. And but yeah, oh, that's too funny.
Oh, and Double H, last week I did watch when Vince blew out his damn quads. I had never saw it, like, live when it happened. Uh-huh. And him sitting on that damn ground like an invalid, barking out orders. And the camera just panning over to him, man. He mad as hell, not because of what happened, but the damn quad. And I don't know how we still trying to figure out how they got him out that ring.
We still don't know how he did it. Like, how the hell did he
walk?
But how did he, but he didn't do anything.
He stepped in the ring and he took like one step and both the quads was gone.
Apparently it happened before that. So they tried to get up and he couldn't.
Well, I guess he had to do it when he's walking down the aisle.
Because when he fell, that was.
He was livid, boy.
Oh, man. Too funny.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious.
Anyways.
I meant to tell you about that.
Well, let me see. Is there anything else wrestling-wise here that we need to touch on?
Friday!
Peter Rosenberg, no longer with the WWE.
No, who gives a damn?
I know, but I had to comment. Tyler Breeze is back in NXT and seems to be happy as a clam to be there. Yeah, I mean, it looks like, we're going through a very interesting era.
When we get past Super Showdown, we can get ready for Stomping Grounds.
Stomping Grounds, exactly. And we can start preparing for the summertime.
Oh, my goodness, Stomping Ground. This is going to be good.
Unbelievable. I just want a normal pay-per-view and a good
name
and a good storyline. And I don't know, man. But whatever. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
No. We gave him an hour and a half.
Did we talk about the All the Family Jeffersons on the air?
No, we did not. We did not talk about that on the air. But
Jamie Foxx messing up that line.
That was funny.
That him trying to imitate George Jefferson's walk.
He didn't do it right.
He didn't do it right, but his impression was spot on.
Yeah. Your boy Woody Harrelson.
Woody's a terrible Archie. Everybody else, they did their best. Yeah. Woody was the worst.
Marla Gibbs showed up. That was beautiful.
That was very nice.
Yes, that was nice. I'm glad they didn't write out the mom.
Mother Jefferson.
Yes. And then, like the ones that acted natural, I thought Ike Barinholtz was good.
It was okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying, he just played it normal.
He didn't overact.
The Wheezy.
Wanda Sykes, she was not as convincing as.
No, I mean, she didn't try to imitate. She just played it.
Yeah. She didn't try to be Isabella Stanford. She tried to be her. She was her. I get what you're saying.
Here was when Marla showed up.
Miss Jefferson.
Oh, that's it? That's all they have here?
That's okay. All they have.
Hold on.
Jackie, look. I didn't realize Jack A was looking so old.
Let me go back here. I'm sure I got the live. I want the whole, not the whole clip, but at least more than the one. Well, I'll have to find it. Anyways, it was okay. I don't think they'll do another one.
No.
And if they do, they have to really.
Go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
I want to see a good times. Go back. That's what I want to see.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Let me see here. Let me do the... I think I got the whole thing now with Marla. The censoring was very... I didn't like it. I didn't like when they censored Jamie Foxx.
7 second delay.
He said it.
He said it, but it didn't air.
No, I mean, that's what she said after he said it. She's like, don't say it. And then he says it. He said it.
Yeah. Here's the
and, what you call him is Tom Willis. He just Will seemed Ferrell. Like he was a tad bit overact.
Yeah. Well, he overacts in general. Here was the Marla Gibbs. That doesn't count, Lee.
I'm Florence Johnson. The agency sent me.
Oh, yes. Okay, come in. This is my husband.
How do you do?
10 o'clock on the dot.
Oh, I believe in being prompt, Mr. Jefferson. I always say I ain't got no right to waste time when other folks is paying for it.
See that? She's hired.
Wait a minute. I'm doing the interviewing.
Oh, Miss Jefferson, this is a lovely apartment.
Thank you.
And is that your kitchen?
Yes.
Ooh, look at that kitchen. And I see you got a cook, too. It's going to be a real pleasure.
I want to play. I want to see. Do they have it here unedited?
5 days a week.
5 days a week? Are you crazy? Wait, this morning.
Let me see here.
Shopping.
If they have the unedited.
Tomorrow, I'm going to be conducting interviews.
Is she talking in wild hysterics?
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Now, George.
Hold on. Wanna...
Not gonna let her push me around.
Then get a divorce.
Hold on.
Hell, if you tried living on moonshine. Words. I'll take it.
Says being broke stinks.
Anything you say.
Here we go.
What other feature this apartment?
And she has a maid twice a week. Wait, this
twice a week.
Hold on, I'll find it.
I don't want a maid.
How easy it is to get along with him, Helen. Just agree.
Bus. Good night, Louise.
Ed, we agree with you.
You hear that? And this is the man that you said was right. Over there, I guess. So.
Well, if you two bastards wouldn't excuse me, I'm going to fix myself a drink.
Oh, well. All right. It must be later in the episode, I guess.
Leprosy or something? But
you know, it's funny how Marla Gibbs' character shows up like that in that first episode.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't act nowhere near like that going forward.
No.
It's like she got the job, and all of a sudden she stopped working. She was saying how she did windows, and then the joke was she didn't do windows.
Wow. All right, let me see here. Lee said they did a thing on Saturday Night Live, but that doesn't count. A Good Times thing. But that doesn't count, Lee. Sorry. Even though it was funny when Kenan Thompson played Florida Evans. I guess that's that. Yeah, I guess that's it. All right, any final thoughts before we wrap it up here for the final time in this studio?
I'm going to miss that place.
I know, right? The final episode of this studio.
Fond memories.
A lot of fond memories.
God damn.
A lot of drops.
The wall game.
You know? Oh, let me see. Where's my Florida Evans drop? Do I not have that? I guess I don't have that here. Still working on recovering the old drops, but at least we got some stuff. You know?
God damn.
Alright. Tony C., you have any final thoughts?
No. It's dinner time.
It's dinner time. What do we eat?
Got pizza coming.
Oh, look at that.
Some Little Caesars.
Hell no.
What you got?
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
Yeah, giving that pan pizza a try, the new and improved.
It's already out?
Yeah. Gonna give it a try. I'll let you know next week what it's hitting on.
You'll let us know about the pizza. Surfer's gonna let us know about his
breakfast.
About his breakfast, and I'm gonna let you know. I'm gonna let you know how the new studio is for this fine program. Tune in on Friday for Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. Then, of course, you can listen to the Shining Wizards at 7 p.m. next Tuesday night. Also, I believe the Midnight Jury, not this Saturday, but the next Saturday, they will be live. And also subscribe to Mike Norenganger's new YouTube channel, Midnight Mike, the Midnight Mike Show, excuse me. Just YouTube that. You can find out more information about that. It's Mike Norenganger from the Midnight Jury. He's got a new YouTube channel, so definitely check that out. And we'll be back here next Tuesday night as we count down to episode 600 of The Rant. And if you're listening live, That's right. If you're listening to us live, stick around because coming up next is a rebroadcast of the Shining Wizards from earlier tonight where they had the inaugural Major League Wrestling National Openweight Champion, Alexander Hammerstone. He was on with them, and you can listen to that show in its entirety next, right here on Randy M Radio. So for Tony C, Surfer, I am Double A. Thanks for the memories in this studio. We'll see you next week in the new studio. Have a good night, everybody.